Good morning. Welcome to our worship service this morning in Jesus' name. It's good to be in God's house. We're glad to spend this time here during this holiday weekend together. So glad that you could get here and we could share this time together. Happy Memorial Day too, and we are remembering especially those who have sacrificed their lives in this country so that we could enjoy the freedoms that we do have. Particularly, for example, the freedom to be able to publicly worship like we are this morning. And so we're thankful for that, and thankful to all of our veterans and servicemen and women who sacrifice so much to protect those freedoms that we enjoy each and every day. And so we're glad for that, glad to be here, and glad that you are here. Special welcome to our visitors. We have a few visitors who are here particularly to celebrate a 40th anniversary, and so we want to congratulate Bob and Connie Nestis also here, and on their 40 years of perfect marital bliss, right? Yeah, no, okay, but God has got you through, and we're thankful for that, and so we'll celebrate that here with you this morning. You're all welcome to hang around after the service for cake and coffee and goodies there to help them to celebrate. So feel free to stick around as you are able for that, and then you can see the rest of our schedule here this week. It's a little bit of a slower week with Memorial Day tomorrow, and then 6:30 there is a mission presentation. Jonathan and Tamba Abel are going to be here, and so come out for that at 6:30 on Wednesday to hear some of what's going on in Brazil at the mission field there. Then Thursday is softball. Want to make a quick change for those to whom that pertains. I believe the games are now at 9 p.m. on Thursday instead of 7 p.m. Like it is in your bulletin there. So keep that in mind there as well. And then next Sunday, regular schedule with the exception that VBS starts. And there's going to be an announcement about that here in just a minute. So we'll come back to that. But there's a few other things I want to briefly mention for you. First of all, keep Cheryl Lennard in your prayers as she continues to recover from double knee replacement. She's still in the hospital today, but hopefully we'll be getting into a rehab facility here, hopefully at Sanford here in the next day or two. Keep praying for Laverne. We're glad that you're here with us too, but dealing with a broken ankle. And so pray for her recovery there as well. And any other prayer requests also that you think of too. And then you can see, I'll just direct your attention. I won't read all of them, but there are several announcements on the back of your red insert talking about different Bible camps, some youth group things. Picture directories are here, so check your box for the picture directory. If you don't have a picture directory, or don't have a box, excuse me, out in the hallway, but would like a directory, talk to Pam Tweet, and she'll take care of you there as well. There are newsletters out on the glass table there as well, so there's lots of stuff going in the hallway. Check that out before you leave today, if you'd like, and then a nice thank you in there too from the CE board for all the Sunday school teachers, and we're just still so thankful for the wonderful school year that we had as we transition now into the summer schedule. Are there any other announcements that need to be made that I missed? And if not, then there's a special announcement about Vacation Bible School, and so I'm going to ask those people to come forward at this time.
We have revised our schedule for decorations a little bit. Because of the missions coming on Wednesday night, we're actually going to do decorations afterwards for anyone who wants to stick around. So afterwards on Wednesday for about an hour or so. We're also adding in a Thursday night one from probably about 5 to 8-ish. And then we'll finish up the rest of it on Saturday from 9 to whenever we finish. There will be separate lunch provided on Sunday. Saturday, not Sunday. Sorry about that. And one last request, is we are still in need of some straw bales. If anyone has any idea where to find them, that would be super to let us know. Thank you.
Thank you, Tory and loyal subject, maybe we can call him or something. If there's no other announcements, then let's hear our call to worship this morning from Psalm 105. Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Let's stand together this morning and sing hymn number 134, Holy, Holy, Holy.
You may be seated. From Psalm 126, verse 3, the Lord has done great things for us, therefore we are glad. We will be singing To God Be the Glory, and you can find it in the hymnal, it's number 509.
Deuteronomy 33, verse 27, the eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. We'll be singing 543, What a Fellowship.
Divine leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness.
1 John 4:16. Thank you. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. We'll be singing number 201, The Love of God.
Refuse to pray on rocks and hills.
One of the things that the cross does for us is it humbles us. The raw reality of the sacrifice that he made for us that day on the cross, it humbles us because it shows us our sin. It shows us how we need his forgiveness. We need that sacrifice. And that's this part of our worship service, is to humble ourselves and to admit, to confess that we are sinners, that we need Jesus to come and to forgive us and to wash us clean. And so I would invite you to join with me in your words and in your hearts as we confess our sins. You'll find that confession printed in your bulletin. It's also on the screen. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy and ask you, for Christ's sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The other thing that the cross does is show us God's love. The raw reality of the cross shows us that that's the depth of his love for you. And I love the words, some of my favorite words in the last verse of the last song we sang, the picture, if we were to fill the oceans with ink, we still couldn't write out the love of God. And the cross shows us that, and it is my joy to declare to you today that that is God's love for you, and in his love, in his mercy, your sins are forgiven. God forgives your sins. We praise him. We thank him for that today. Amen. This time I'm going to call on Mike Ward to come and read our scripture.
First reading for this morning comes from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will him himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Our gospel lesson comes from the book of John, chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you are the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Here ends the reading for today.
Let's confess our faith together, saying, "This is what we believe," using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. This time I'm going to call on the ushers to wait upon us. We do have a children's message this morning, so I'll call on the kiddos to come on up at this time. Okay. How many of you, come on up, everybody. How many of you have ever been left home alone with a babysitter or someone who wasn't your mom and dad because your mom and dad were leaving? Have you guys been left with like a babysitter or maybe a aunt and uncle or grandpa or grandma or something like that? Yeah. Did your mom and dad, when they left, did they give you any like instructions or anything that they wanted you to remember before they left? Yeah. Did they write it down for you too so you could read it and remember it? Some parents do that. Some just tell you, right, and they want you to remember. I need you guys to help me with some of those things. What do you remember? So when your mom and dad leave, what instructions do they give you? Don't burn down the house. Is that what you said? That's a good, we're going to write that down. Yeah, don't burn down the house, okay? That is good advice. Okay. And Paige. Don't what? Don't make anything or you might. We'll put that as a subclause of that one. So don't cook on your own. We'll put that. Yes. Be nice to your babysitter. I like that one too. Yeah, be nice to the babysitter. I like that one. Okay, let's see here. Yep. Yeah, that's fun, isn't it? Okay, is there another one over here? Okay, don't turn the stove on. There's a lot of cooking ones here and burning. Don't use the stove. Okay, or use the stove. We'll put that one there also. Okay, a few more. Don't make a mess, okay? No mess. We'll just put no mess. One more. Okay, so stay in the house. Yeah, stay in the house. That's probably good too. Yeah, okay, so your mom and dad give you instructions. They give you they give you things to remember when they're gone. Okay, and why do you think they do that? Why do they say don't burn down the house? Why do they say be nice to the babysitter? Why do they say stay in the house? Why do they say those things? Well, they don't want to pay $1 billion. That would be part of it. But I think it goes a little bit deeper than that. What do you guys think? Why? To keep you safe. Why would they want to keep you safe? Because they love you. That's right. Yeah, did you know, we're going to talk today in the sermon about something what we call the ascension, okay? And the ascension is when, do you guys know what that word is? What am I talking about? Any ideas? It's when Jesus went back up into heaven, okay? We're going to talk about that today. And there were some Bible verses that Mr. Ward read for us this morning already that where Jesus was talking about, I'm going to leave, okay? So I'm going to leave this earth, but I'm going to leave you my words, okay? And so when Jesus left and we said, I'm going to leave you my words, what did he leave us? The Bible, is that what you're going to say? Yeah. Okay, he left us the Bible. And he left us the Bible to protect us from the devil, for one. If you remember when Jesus was tempted by the devil, do you know what he did? He used Bible verses. He used scripture to help against the temptations of the devil. So for example, let's say the devil wants you to believe that God doesn't love you. Okay, what would we say? Any ideas? What does the Bible say? The Bible says no. The Bible says God does love us. Does anybody know any Bible verses that talk about that? Yeah, John 3:16. What does the Bible say? For God so loved the world, right? Okay, so the Bible tells us when the devil comes in and says, you know, I don't think God loves you, we say, no, you know, God said before he left, Jesus told us that he loves us so much that he sent his only son, that he came so that all who believe in him should not perish but should have everlasting life, right? So we have God's word. So when Jesus left, even though like we can't physically see Jesus right now, he left us his words to tell us how much he loves us, to give us instructions, to show us that he is the one who forgives us, to point us to himself, because it's in him that we find salvation, right? That we find eternal life, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So always remember that if we have the Bible, we have Jesus with us, because these are his words, okay? And that's a special and wonderful thing that are there to help us, okay? Thanks for coming up. You guys can go and sit down. Before the message, then, we're going to have special music, and that's Rachel and Veronica Gillen, so we'll call on them at this time.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way.
Thank you, Rachel and Veronica. I am tempted to just go ahead and close the service right now. We've heard a good message already there from them, so thank you for that. But we're not going to. I'm going to still preach. Acts chapter 1 is where we are. And so I would invite you, as I read these verses, to stand with me out of respect for God's word. Acts chapter 1 in the first 14 verses of the chapter. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Lord, these are your words. Thank you for them. And I pray now that as we study them, you would set them apart in our hearts as truth, because your word is true. We are grateful to you for that today. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for this word that does tell us how much you love us and the extent to which you were willing to save us. And so I pray, God, that you would remind us of that through this today as well. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Did you know that it's a holiday weekend? Obviously, right? What if I told you that I was not thinking of Memorial Day? That there is another celebration, commonly called a feast. It was actually on this last Thursday, but many people observe it on the following Sunday, which is today. It's called the Feast of Ascension, or Ascension Day. 40 days after Easter, Jesus ascended into heaven, and this year, that 40-day mark was Thursday. And then it was another 10 days, and then Pentecost happened, and that'll be next Sunday. We're still, as 21st century Christians, pretty familiar with Pentecost, but the observance of Ascension Day has been largely lost for the most part. And that's okay. Thankfully, our salvation doesn't hinge on whether we observe the right holidays, okay? But that doesn't mean that there still isn't meaning and value in at least acknowledging these holy days. That's why, from time to time, I like to bring them up. The early church fathers spoke regularly about the Feast of Ascension. St. Augustine believed the holiday to be apostolic in nature. In other words, the apostles, these ones that we just read about, who witnessed the ascension, thought that it was important enough to set the tone for remembering and celebrating the ascension of Jesus. Why celebrate his ascension? What's so special about that day? That's the underlying question that I want us to consider as we look at the account of what happened that day. And I believe it's actually kind of fitting this year. The Ascension falls on the same week as Memorial Day weekend because there are some very related themes in both holidays, but those themes take on different meaning and application with the different holidays. This text comes at the beginning of the book of Acts, right after the four Gospels that detail the life and the work of Jesus. Luke wrote the book of Acts. He also wrote the Gospel of Luke. And in verse 1 of our text, Luke refers back to that previous book. In that first book, I dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up, it says. That's where the book of Luke ends. And so now in the first chapter of Acts, he is picking up where he left off. Many people think of Luke and Acts as a two-volume work, split by the ascension when Jesus left to go back to heaven. And so then the book of Acts is all about what happened in the weeks and months and years right after Jesus lived on this earth and then went back to heaven. In Acts 1, Luke goes into more detail about the actual ascension to kind of tie the two books together. He says in verse 3 here that Jesus showed himself alive after his sufferings and death by many proofs. So the resurrection, according to Luke, was not some cockeyed conspiracy by a few zealots. This actually happened. Jesus actually rose from the grave. He came back to life. We talked much about that at Easter time a few weeks ago. But the reality of that remains. Jesus actually came back to life. And he appeared to them in these 40 days since Easter, speaking, it says, about the kingdom of God. That was his message in these 40 days. In Bible study, we've been studying on Wednesday nights the book of Luke, and we've been talking a lot about how Luke sets up this contrast in that book between the earthly kingdom and the heavenly kingdom, the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus' death and resurrection had a profound and eternal impact on life, on everything. His death and his resurrection made a way for humanity, for you, to enter into heaven, eternal life. Eternal life was a real thing before Jesus came, but it was based on the promise of God to defeat what holds the kingdom of this world in chains, which is sin and sin's consequence, death. And that promise came in Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve fell into sin. God promised there that their descendant would crush the serpent's head, would crush sin and death and the devil, and that's exactly what Jesus did. He fulfilled that promise so that you and I would not have to remain bound to sin and death, but that there would be hope for us beyond the grave. Hope for us, hope for you through the grave. Because of the resurrection, death, the grave, is not our end. There is another kingdom not bound by those things. And that's what Jesus was teaching them in those 40 days. I am the way, he says, to that kingdom because I have broken the chains of sin and death. And Christians, we enjoy life in this kingdom even now, this kingdom of God. I had a seminary professor explain it this way. The kingdom of God includes heaven, okay? But it's more than that. Luke records Jesus saying in Luke 17 that the kingdom of God is in your midst, okay? So it's already here. It's not just heaven. He was referring, Jesus was, to himself and to his work, his rule of grace. And so in that sense, the kingdom of God is an activity. It's him ruling in our hearts. And we experience that grace now. We enjoy things, don't we? Like forgiveness. Do you enjoy forgiveness? Mercy. Love. Patience, characteristics of God's kingdom. Now, because Jesus is with us now in his word, we believe Jesus is present in communion, for example. He gave us the Holy Spirit, verse 5, a reference to Pentecost, which was about to happen in just 10 short days. It's the kingdom of God. It's Jesus' presence and his activity, his work in our hearts and in our lives. The disciples had a hard time understanding this. All along, They had this kingdom picture in their minds that would have been similar to a kingdom like Israel was in the days of David and Solomon. They're looking for a political kingdom that will do away with the hated and the oppressive Roman rule upon them. And that's what they were hoping to see Jesus put into place. And even now, after all they've seen, especially the death and resurrection of Jesus, 40 days after the resurrection, he's been teaching them about the kingdom of God. They're still missing it. Verse 6. Now will you restore the kingdom to Israel? They wanted to know when they would be freed from the yoke of slavery under the Romans. And Jesus rebukes them in verse 7. It's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. In other words, it's none of your business. You're missing this. Your salvation, your hope, your comfort, your identity. And plug yourselves into this, okay? Because this is speaking to you too. Your salvation, your hope, comfort, identity, who you are, and who you are in Christ is not dependent on the restoration of your earthly kingdom and on the success of whatever it is in this world that you hold to and cling to, because you are citizens in Christ of another kingdom, an eternal kingdom. Let's talk about Memorial Day. Tomorrow is a day to remember those who have died in service to our country. They gave the ultimate sacrifice, their very own life, so that we could enjoy the freedoms that we have to worship in public, for one. So we're practicing that right now. And I join with many of you or all of you. We are so thankful and grateful to those men and women for their sacrifice. And it's okay and it's good, it's a right to remember that sacrifice. But did you know that if we didn't have the freedom to publicly worship, we would still be okay? Because our worship, our faith, it's not dependent on anything, even something as wonderful as the U.S. Constitution. Because even that is man-made. It's a product of this kingdom of the world. But there was another one. The back of your bulletin this morning, by the way, talks about this. There was another one who also made a sacrifice. Who made that ultimate sacrifice. His own life, so that you could enjoy freedoms. But what makes that sacrifice unique is that the one who made the sacrifice was the Son of God. And in making that sacrifice, and then by defeating death and raising victorious, it's a freedom that you have in him that the world does not know. You are free from slavery to sin and death. Like I said, I'm so thankful for those who died so we could all freely be here today. But that is nothing compared to the thankfulness that we have for the one who came to defeat our greatest enemy and made it so that we can all freely be in heaven someday. That's a difference, isn't it? And then we get to verse 8. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, it says, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This is not the power, again, to overthrow the Roman government. That's not what he's talking about. It is a spirit brought and spirit wrought, okay, spirit worked power. It's his power, it's his work to witness to the city, the surrounding area, and the entire world, it says, to share about this other kingdom, because the world needs to hear about this other kingdom. And this other Savior, this one Savior who came to rescue us from the bonds of this kingdom of the world and to free us to live with him forever. Notice that the verse does not tell us to be witnesses. Okay? Instead, it simply declares that this is what you will be as citizens of this other kingdom. You are witnesses to it because you are a member of it. And it's power from the Holy Spirit that does that. It's like Matthew 5. Jesus doesn't say, be the light of the world. He says, you are the light of the world. It's a statement of declaration. That is who you are in Christ Jesus. Because the true light is living in you. And that light, Jesus, continues to work and to teach. Back to verse 1, even after he's gone back into heaven. Because he left us his word. Because he sent us the Holy Spirit. And if anyone thinks that this then, for example, gives us permission to laziness, I would say to them, consider the comfort, the joy, the excitement in knowing that God is dwelling in you and that his power is at work in you and through you. We have such a wonderful message that can't stay hidden. We want to share it because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. The Bible says that at Pentecost, the Spirit came and indwelt the believers. That's what Jesus is promising here in our text. It wasn't that the Holy Spirit wasn't around before then, but his residence was known more as the Holy of Holies in the temple where only the priests had access. And now after Pentecost, there's something called the universal priesthood. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Did you know, dear friend, that you are a priest? We are all priests who have the privilege of declaring the excellencies of Jesus wherever he leads. In our city, in the surrounding area, to the ends of the earth, wherever he leads. In VBS next week, in your homes this afternoon, at your picnics tomorrow, at your workplace on Tuesday. Wherever he leads, you are the light of the world. It's just what you are. You are a priest who declares the excellencies of Jesus. And so we confidently and joyously do so. And we do that in part because of the ascension. You see, the ascension is a part of what we call Christ's exaltation. The ascension helps us to see Jesus for the king that he is. Can you picture that? Okay? Jesus literally rising up into the clouds. That's a picture of a king if I ever saw one, isn't it? He's the victor. He was lifted up. He rose into heaven. Ephesians 4 teaches us about the ascension in those terms. It says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. Paul is saying there that the ascension is a picture, it's a demonstration of Jesus as the mighty warrior and conquering king who sweeps us up in his wake and leads us in this great victory march, doling out the spoils of victory. That's what conquering kings did as they returned to their kingdom. They marched to great fanfare and they distributed gifts. And that's what Jesus does. And that's what he did, for example, when he sent the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Right after that verse in Ephesians 4:8, ascending on high, leading a host of captives, giving gifts to men. Right after that verse is one that maybe you are familiar with. He gave some to the apostles, prophets, teachers, to equip the saints, to build up the body, to attain unity of the faith. And if you're not seeing this yet, what this boils down to is life, Christian life. Apostles, prophets, teachers, building up the body, unity of the faith. We see the ascension It's a beautiful display of the kingship of Christ, his victory, his rule, and his reign. He defeated the enemy, and he leads us to his kingdom. And friends, that radically changes our life. We are now citizens of another kingdom, and that kingdom is ruled by grace. We are witnesses to his goodness, to his victory, and we share the good news of that victory to whoever will hear. And then this life becomes a victory march of life. Because the battle has been won. And this victory march, this life, is marked by humility. You don't find that in this kingdom of the world very much, do you? Humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love. Unity, the bond of peace. Those are marks of life in this other kingdom that this kingdom of the world doesn't know. Listen to Paul in Romans 14. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Spirit. We got to close here. Do you hear that? Listen to this verse. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. What is life in God's kingdom? Eating and drinking, whatever. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. That's life in God's kingdom. That's how Luke ends our text. Jesus left, the angels came and said, nothing more to see here. He'll come back. And they went home, it says, with one accord. They were devoting themselves to prayer with all the women and Mary. One writer calls that a delicate touch. The woman who had endured so much, watching her son die, now at peace. Because of the resurrection, because of the ascension. And then it says that his brothers were there, the brothers of Jesus, the ones that it says earlier had not believed. Now they do. It's a happy family of believers together and at peace. I want to read for you some verses from Isaiah chapter 11. This is how Isaiah the prophet pictures the kingdom of God and the peace that dwells in God's kingdom. He talks about Jesus first. He says, there will come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord, okay, shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And then listen to this. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child, this is the one that gets me, the nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth. Okay, why is there that kind of peace? For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover that sea. In that day, when Jesus comes, when Jesus wins the victory, in that day, the root of Jesse, Jesus, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples in triumph as king, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. That, my dear friends, is the consequence of the ascension. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of peace, unfathomable peace, That's the message of peace from your King Jesus. I'm thankful for our country this weekend and for the sacrifice of so many so that I can lay my head down at night in peace and not concerned about my safety, right? Another thing I take for granted every night because I don't think about that. But there's another peace that is mine, that is yours in Christ, that far outweighs anything else. It's the message of peace that says that your sins are forgiven. The battle is won. You are right with God, and you are bound for heaven. That's peace. Jesus Christ, our victorious King, he is our resting place, and it's glorious. Amen. Let's close by singing. Lord, we sing Alleluia. Today, we acknowledge that you are the King. Yours is the scepter, yours is the throne, ultimately because you have redeemed us by your blood. You purchased our freedom. You won victory for us on the cross and on the empty tomb over sin, over the devil, over death itself, and gave us the hope and the assurance of life in heaven someday. And so we rejoice today, Lord, and we joyfully live this victory march life, knowing that there is something far, far better waiting for us in heaven than the kingdom of this world. And God, I'm grateful to you that you give us morsels and tastes of that heavenly kingdom, even now in your word. Lord, I am grateful to you for the way that you foster fellowship in the body of Christ and give us tastes of eternal fellowship that way. I'm grateful to you for this congregation. Lord, I pray that you would bless it. I pray that you would be with those who aren't here. We miss them. Lord, watch over, protect, and keep them safe wherever they are. I know so many are traveling and spending time with family this weekend. Lord, I'm thankful for those who are visiting here with family today. We pray, God, for our entire body of Christ, for this congregation. We pray for the greater body as well. And I do think of those in other parts of the world who are being persecuted, who are sacrificing their lives in your name. Lord, I pray that you would comfort those families who are grieving those losses. I pray, God, that you would continue to strengthen those believers who are under persecution. We thank you for this country. We thank you for the sacrifice that so many have made to protect and defend the freedoms that we enjoy. Help us not to take that for granted. Help us to remember and to honor those who have defended us and protected us in that way. We are grateful to you, God, for your abundant provision. And we thank you and we praise you for all that you have done for us. Lord, help those who are sick. Bring healing. I pray for VBS. I pray for the many other summer activities that are getting going and preparations for different Bible camps and things like that, Lord. Again, we pray that you would use these summer ministry tools in a mighty way for your kingdom's work. Thank you for this time. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the victory that is ours in him. Hear us as we pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise now and receive God's benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.